Our next presenter is Karina Sariva. Am I saying that right? Okay. She is a researcher with the California Department of Public Health, and she provides support for planning, implementation, and evaluation of public health nutrition programs targeting maternal and child populations. As a lead researcher on breastfeeding, she publishes annual in-hospital breastfeeding initiation data and studies the association of maternity care practices and policies on infant feeding.
Thank you. Can everyone hear me okay? Yeah, I tend to have a low voice, so if you can't hear me, let me know. Thanks for having me. I'll be talking about the long-term impact of hospital experiences. And again, my name's Karina, and I have no financial relationships to disclose at this time. I'm hoping that by the end of the session, you'll be able to know how in California we're using our maternal and infant health assessment survey, we call it MIHA, and how we're using it to assess hospital infant feeding policies and practices. I'll also use that data to show the status from the mom's perspective, because it's self-reported experiences in California, and then describe the association between what women are experiencing and their breastfeeding initiation duration and exclusivity. So I feel like the session is really progressing nicely because we talked about all the 10 steps, and then the next presenter talked about there's the Colorado 5. And in our MIHA survey, we had to kind of limit ourselves to what we were going to ask. So we did, this data we'll be presenting on the main key 5 Colorado practices. So, and I think those other presentations covered like why we care about hospital policies and practices. There's many studies that have shown that these evidence-based policies and practices, such as the 10 steps, promote moms' breastfeeding initiation and duration. However, in California, we didn't have the data from the mom's perspective until we started compiling it from the MIHA survey to really look at the association on the long-term impact of these policies. So the momentum over the last 5 to 7 years or so has been building for this evidence-based maternity care, and I feel like California is one of the states that's leading the way. It kind of started for us, we started releasing data a long time ago on hospitals, and we got a big uproar from hospitals. So I'm glad that CDC started collecting data nationwide on what's going on in hospitals with the MPINC in 2007. And then the Joint Commission started, implemented a measure on exclusive breast milk. Healthy People released their new objectives and included something on hospital support, which is great. And then the Surgeon General called on everyone to try to make breastfeeding easier for women, including hospitals and other organizations. And many states have had breastfeeding summits, and we started having them. This will be our 3rd annual. And what's unique in California is just last year, we're actually celebrating the anniversary, we passed a legislation that will mandate that hospitals that are providing maternity care have an infant feeding policy in place and that it be consistent with guidance provided in the baby friendly. Not that they have to be baby friendly, but that they have a policy that covers those things. Or they could use our model hospital policy recommendations, which are essentially the same. These policies need to be posted on their website and routinely communicated to staff. And this will be effective January 2014. So it seems like a long ways away, but it's only one more year soon. So one way that we can track progress, and I'm glad that we now have MPINC data, and we do use it a lot. We've actually provided local data aside from the statewide benchmark that we provide. That's one way to track how we're doing and to see the number of baby-friendly hospitals. And I think this number might be wrong, Robbie. I think there's 58 now. Is it 57? Okay, because it keeps changing. I have to keep tweaking my presentation. So what I liked, I should have probably put little indicators throughout the timeline here, but we started releasing in-hospital breastfeeding data like in 2005-06, and there was a 13 hospitals that were baby-friendly, and then all of a sudden it doubled to 26, And as more attention kept going towards evidence-based care, it just seems to keep increasing. But this is just from the hospital, like what's going on in the hospital. We also like to know what the mom's perception is of what she's experiencing and the long-term impact that that has on her infant feeding practices. And in order to do that, we use our MEHA survey. It is an annual survey of women who recently gave a live birth, modeled after the PRAMS survey, the National PRAMS survey, but we don't participate in PRAMS. It's funded by our division as well as WIC. Recently, we've collaborated with WIC, providing some funding to the project. And it's implemented through UCSF. It's a self-administered survey sampled from the birth certificates with telephone follow-up to non-respondents. We have an English and Spanish version, and we've had really great response rates over the last few years. And as I mentioned, with increased funding from WIC, we actually increased our sample to 7,000 in 2010, which is the year I'm presenting here. I just wanted to highlight that although I'm presenting on breastfeeding and hospital practices, our MEHA survey covers a deep breadth of areas. Some are listed here, there's many more. We started capturing, I don't know if it's listed here, but ACE questions on racism and disparities recently, so that's exciting. And then this is a reference site. So when I talk about breastfeeding, you can see how the wording of our questions are for the breastfeeding series, as well as hospital experiences, how we phrase questions. And we did only ask on the key five, and also about skin-to-skin time, which I don't think is one of them, but we captured that. So it'll flow well with the other presentations. And some key definitions rooming in for this study was the mom saying that the baby was with her for at least 23 hours in the day. Early initiation is reported as within 1 hour of vaginal birth or 2 hours if she had a C-section. Skin-to-skin time, we counted that as being a positive practice if she reported at least 30 minutes within the first 2 hours of giving birth. And no formula is saying that she did not provide anything other than breast milk while in the hospital. For this particular analysis, I excluded any infant that could potentially be considered at risk, so any low birth weight, preterm babies, any infant that was placed in a NICU, or multiple births. And then we also limited to women that reported ever breastfeeding, so that when they say they initiated early, it's because they actually breastfed at all. So these are infant feeding practices among the women that ever breastfed. So you could see a slight drop-off by even 1 week, which is all the supplementers in the hospital, with 61% providing exclusive breast milk. And the dark purple is the exclusive rates. And by 3 months postpartum, only two-thirds are doing any breastfeeding, with a third doing exclusive breastfeeding. And we see disparities by race here, with blacks and Latinas having the lowest prevalence of breastfeeding and exclusive breastfeeding as well. And here's the percent of women reporting a given hospital practice. We could see that rooming in and provision of contact for post-discharge support are pretty widespread in California. Most women are reporting that they do have those experiences. But many women are reporting that they don't have the skin-to-skin time, or that they're supplementing in the hospital, or that they received a gift packed with formula while in the hospital. And only 10% of the women report experiencing all seven of those practices. Let's see. So this chart here shows exclusive breastfeeding at 3 months by whether the mom reported having the experience, so that's the dark purple bars, or not, which are the lavender color. You could see across the board on all the practices, and I think a couple of them are not statistically significant. I didn't bring that with me. I'm pretty sure the ones that are more prevalent are less likely to be statistically significant. But that across the board, women having these experiences have much higher rates of exclusive breastfeeding at 3 months postpartum. And I took this from another presentation, but put in our data. So among the seven practices that we capture on MEHA, women the blue bar or line is any breastfeeding at 3 months, and the purple is exclusive breastfeeding. If the woman reported having 0 to 2 practices, only 50% said that they did any breastfeeding, with 19% exclusive breastfeeding. But if they had 6 or 7 of the practices, you see 82% are still breastfeeding at all at 3 months, and almost 56% are still exclusively breastfeeding at 3 months postpartum. So what we see here in summary is that although a majority of our California women initiate breastfeeding, few will continue to breastfeed at 3 months postpartum, and only 1 in 3 will do so exclusively. Some of our hospital practices, such as rooming in and giving post-discharge contact information, are widespread in California, but fewer women are reporting having the skin-to-skin contact with their infant, and many are reporting supplementing with formula or receiving a gift pack with formula. Only 1 in 10 women report experiencing all these 7 practices that support breastfeeding. Women that had these experiences were more likely to still report exclusive breastfeeding at 3 months postpartum, and rates of exclusive breastfeeding increased with the total number of practices that they said they experienced. So for us, the implications in California are that we hope that establishing maternity care practices as standard of care in California will get us closer to the new Healthy People goals. And with the growing number of California hospitals seeking baby-friendly designation and our Hospital Infant Feeding Act going into place, we should result that more women will be reporting these practices that fully support breastfeeding. We're excited about that. We'll keep monitoring it over time. Any questions? Who's first? I think back there.
How did you measure exclusive breastfeeding at 3 months
postpartum? And it's not like the National Immunization Survey, and we've actually changed our wording of our MIHA survey so that it is point in time. Like if they ever supplemented, then it's no longer exclusive breastfeeding. But in the 2010 version, it just asks, when your baby was 3 months old, what were you feeding him or her? So even if she said she supplemented in the hospital, she could have said that at 3 months she was an exclusive breastfeeding, which is why that kind of seems contradictory. One of the points is exclusive breastfeeding at 3 months. If she said she supplemented in the hospital, it could still occur in our data the way it's current. It was collected where a mom says she was, you know, she supplemented early, but at 3 months she was an exclusive breastfeeder.
I was just wondering when you get this data, how much postpartum are the mothers, and is there like a time span? Because you're sending it out based on the birth certificates, but is there a duration?
Right. Most moms in our sample respond 2 to 4 months, and for all the indicators for the, 1 month wouldn't matter, but for 3 months they have to have, the baby has to be at least 3 months old at the time of the survey to be included in the denominator.
Did you send it out around when they're 2 months postpartum is what you're saying?
Yes. It's about 6 to 8 weeks postpartum. So if they're really anxious and fill it out, we get them pretty early, but it's usually around 2 to 3 months.
Since you have the WIC data, I think it would be interesting to look at exclusive breastfeeding by BMI, by prenatal BMI. Since obese women have a lower rate of exclusive breastfeeding, I just think that would be interesting, and I know WIC does collect that data.
And MIHA, we have self-reported WIC, and the birth certificate is linked into MIHA, so we have the birth certificate, and we actually link in WIC ISIS data now, too. So we have 3 measures of pre-pregnancy. BMI, you're right. Yes. Yes?
I gathered from your presentation that you excluded women who had not breastfed in your analysis, so you only looked at the subsample of women who had breastfed. I'm curious if you've looked at all as to whether or not a mom not reporting a step was related to her not even initiating breastfeeding. So I'm thinking in terms of specifically like the skin-to-skin step. Did you see like moms who didn't report skin to skin also then were not able to initiate breastfeeding?
I haven't looked at it that way. But we also have a question on intention. We were looking at maybe using that instead of ever breastfeeding. Because a lot, I mean, in our population, it's really high. It's like 94% are still breastfeeding at 1 week. I think it's like 98% that do any breastfeeding at all. So I'm only really kicking out very few women. Even if it's just one time, we count it as ever breastfeeding. But another way we were thinking of looking at it is their intention. We ask them about, before you had your baby, how did you plan to feed your baby? Any other questions?